sempre com música.
Hello, 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 people, everybody, we are back here with another session, with you tuned in with Mr. Nash and Mr. Dave. We are right here by my side, King Dash and King Nave. Yeah, we here filled with energy, on another level, just came from refilling ourselves, you know. Yeah, you need energy for everything, eh?
Yeah.
Except Mr. Dave, overfilled his energy, now he's tired.
No, I didn't overfill my energy. I'm excited that I'm back again on a Friday right here on the number one station, the Active FM, where Christ music is hot music, baby. Yeah, you don't want to miss whatever that we brought for you today. You get what I'm saying? So just stay tuned in and stay connected, because Dave and Nash, right here on the Dave and Nash Show, are about to deliver something sweet, something good, something that you got to do each and every single day of your life. And wherever you are, it doesn't matter whether you're church, whether you're outside church, but wherever you are, you get what I'm saying? You gotta be doing that each and every single time. So you are tuned in right here on the number one station in Mzansi and all around the world with your boy, DJ Dash and DJ Nave. Yeah. That's how much energy I got, man.
This guy. I was checking. He's not asleep, eh? Not asleep. Guess what? Mr. Dave is awake. Gonna have an amazing session. You can feel his energy on another level.
Got energy, like I said, we're feeling.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we just wanna find out how the people are doing. So comment it and hashtag, you know, tell us how you're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Hashtag how I'm feeling. Yes. For the show. Hashtag how I'm feeling. Yeah. So we want to hear how you people are doing, and you know we love the crowd, we love you people, because you guys are amazing. We love the fact that you stay tuned in and keep on listening
everybody.
Yeah,
so don't disconnect, you get what I'm saying? Otherwise you're gonna miss a lot. So stay tuned in for this whole time that we're gonna spend with you. We're gonna give you not only the word, not only some fun, not only cracking jokes, but also giving you some music, because here in Active FM we give Christ music, which is hot music, everybody.
Yeah.
So you gotta stay tuned in and never distance yourself from this place. You get what I'm saying? Because this, here we do it for real. You get what I'm saying? We give you the exclusive each and every single day.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Amazing.
And Mr. Dave, you know, just
sir.
So that the people don't get so curious, you know, too much and wondering what are we talking about today, you know? That's the topic and all this stuff. I mean, I know you people already know what we're talking about. You looked at the topic, you know, you like the heading, you're like, okay. So right now you even know what we're gonna talk about.
How can they be looking while they're via the radio?
No, I just to understand, man. Like,
understand what I cannot understand.
Because when they pick the podcast, they read the title on that podcast.
No, man.
Come with your stuff right here.
Yeah. I get what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about building the church, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. We're going to be talking more and more. Mr. Nash will get into details on how to build the church and what to do in order for you to build a church that will last forever. You get what I'm saying? A church that will be sustainable. A church that will not only be filled with the crowd, but will be filled with a team that is in the same vision for the word of God to flourish out there and to spread the word of God and to multiply. You get what I'm saying?
Because
we are not here to build a church that will stay stagnant, but we're here to build a church that will spread out to all the nations. You get what I'm saying?
True that. And this topic here already has got me, you know, it has got me on fire, tuned up, you know. I'm actually getting ready to get into it, but you know what we're gonna give you? We're gonna give you amazing music here. So I'm not gonna jump the gun.
Yeah.
We don't jump the gun.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure we keep it cool, you know.
Yeah, we hit the target.
We take every step, step by step, one by one, you know. You don't go 1-10. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, we're going. So obviously, we're gonna give you people something amazing, something juicy, you know, something that will keep you pumped up, like Mr. Dave always says, you know.
Yeah,
we're gonna give you Christ music, which is amazing music, y'all.
Yeah, it's enough.
Yeah, and don't go away. Stay tuned in the mighty name of Jesus.
North Korean missiles, U.S. warships deployed to Korean Peninsula. The U.S. military has ordered the Navy strike group to move towards the Korean Peninsula, amid growing concerns about North Korea's missile program. The Carl Vinson strike group comprises an aircraft carrier and other warships. U.S. Pacific Command described the deployment, now heading towards the Western Pacific, as a prudent measure to maintain readiness in the region. President Trump has said the U.S. is prepared to act alone to deal with the nuclear threat from North Korea. The number one threat in the region continues to be North Korea, due to its reckless, irresponsible and destabilizing program of missile tests and pursuit of a nuclear weapons capability, U.S. Pacific Command spokesman Dave Benham said. What is being deployed? The strike group comprises the Nimitz-class aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, two guided missile destroyers and the guided missile cruiser. As well as massive striking power, the carrier group, headed by Admiral Nora Tyson, has the capability to intercept ballistic missiles. It was originally due to make port calls in Australia but instead has been diverted from Singapore to the West Pacific, where it recently conducted exercises with the South Korean Navy. In detail, North Korea's missile program. How advanced is North Korea's nuclear program? What is the context? North Korea's missiles. North Korea has carried out several nuclear tests and experts predict more could be in the offing as it moves closer towards developing a nuclear warhead that could reach the U.S. There have been indications from North Korea that it may test an intercontinental missile, even though it is banned from any tests under UN resolutions, restrictions it has consistently ignored. On Wednesday, it test-fired a medium-range ballistic missile from its eastern port of Sinpo into the Sea of Japan. That test came a month after four ballistic missiles were fired towards the Sea of Japan, moves that provoked a furious reaction by Japan. On its part, North Korea says it is provoked by military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea, which it sees as preparation for an invasion. Syria. North Korea has also been closely watching how U.S. President Donald Trump has been responding in Syria. Early on Friday, the U.S. military launched airstrikes against the Syrian government, in retaliation for a reported chemical attack. North Korea called it an intolerable act of aggression against the sovereign state, and said the strike showed it was justified in bolstering its own defenses. What are the moves behind the scenes? The most recent test, condemned by Japan and South Korea, came on the eve of a visit by China's President Xi Jinping to the U.S. to meet President Trump. The two leaders discussed how to rein in North Korea's nuclear and missile programs as the U.S. steps up the pressure on China, a historic ally of Pyongyang, to help reduce tension. China has, however, been reluctant to isolate its neighbor and ally, fearing its collapse could spawn a refugee crisis and bring the U.S. military to its doorstep. China has long been North Korea's closest diplomatic ally and trading partner, but the relationship has become increasingly strained over Pyongyang's refusal to halt nuclear and missile testing. Mr. Trump said in a recent interview that Washington was ready to act without Beijing's cooperation. If China is not going to solve North Korea, we will. The U.S. Treasury recently slapped sanctions on 11 North Korean business representatives and one company, while U.S. politicians overwhelmingly backed a bill relisting the North as a state sponsor of terror. North Korea responded by warning that it will retaliate if the international community steps up sanctions, saying the U.S. was forcing the situation to the brink of war.
the crossfire of your love and grace, like a bullet through the heart, the target was me. You posed a question: do you believe? Do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Caught in the crossfire of your love and grace, like a bullet through the heart, the target was me. You posed a question: do you believe?
Everybody.
Holla.
An awesome track right there. Got me dancing like nobody's business. It got me on another level. It got me pumped up. It got me spiritually filled because, you know what? That was an amazing song right there. I love it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we're back again. Now we're going more on what we're going to be speaking about today, which is building the church. And Mr. Nash is going to get straight into it. But before that, we would like to give all the matriculants out there some options. You get what I'm saying? There's options. Are you thinking, when I'm done school, what am I going to study? But here we're promoting entertainment, you get what I'm saying? So you can actually go to the Academy of Sound Engineering and go and study sound engineering in technology. So where you get equipment, sound, you focus, it is basically focusing on the engineering of science, engineering science of sound. In fact, so equipment design, sound design, system design, acoustics, computer programming, advanced IT, media networks for audio and video, advanced video and video software applications, capturing and processing sound, advanced and surround sound mixing. Yeah, there are a lot of things that you can get there in the engineering, in the Department of Sound Engineering right there. And that's not only that, we'll give you some more details and some more information as we go along the show. So enjoy as Mr. Nash right here elaborates more on the building of the church.
Yeah. So I'm gonna start off by saying, you know, I love David, man. Love David. You know what? Lives an amazing, dynamic life. Like, his life is interesting. Yeah. I actually want my life to be like that guy. Yeah. I mean, looking at it, he was a shepherd at a young age. He fought bears, and guess what? He conquered. Not forgetting, he fought Goliath, victory, became a king. Amazing stuff. And then, you know, he goes on to write the book of Psalms. And in Psalms chapter 23, verse 6b, he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Yeah, after that whole, you know, after that whole journey comes to that conclusion, like, you know what, I've been through a lot, and I know how it feels, you know, when you're out there and all those things, but I'll dwell in the Lord's house forever. I will dwell there. Yeah. And that's our you know, start up first, you know, to get your soul up there, you know.
Yeah.
Lifted, pumped up. And yeah, basically throughout this whole show, you know, what we're gonna cover up is how to know what it means to truly be a part of, to be part of a church, and to begin to put this into practice.
Yeah.
So you're gonna know how to be a part of a church, you know, and to put specific things in practice. And you're gonna learn even more other stuff, like, for example, to be willing to be a person used by God for His work.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of things that people battle with, like, I want to do what the Lord, you know, I want the Lord to bless me. I want this, I want that, but I don't want to do what the Lord is telling me. The Lord says, you got to come to my house from Monday to Monday. And you're like, yes, Lord, I want you to bless me and all those stuff. And yeah, and all those amazing houses, cars, and all those things, you know. Yeah, even a 12. And then when He says, come to my house from Monday to Monday, you're like, what? Monday to Monday, yo, Daddy. I think you made a mistake. Are you speaking? Did you mistaken the name there? You know, or something. You know, yeah, maybe you that was an error and all those stuff. But yeah, there's things that the Lord requires us. And by the end of this show, you're gonna be on fire for Christ, and you're gonna wanna be involved in each and everything, you know, that the Lord has for us. And basically, based on the topic, building the church, you know, what we would love to talk about first is the revelation of the cross. The revelation of the cross is so very important, because when you get the revelation of the cross, then you know what Christ did on the cross for you.
Yeah.
Then you know what Christ went through for you. Then you know what Christ actually had to experience in order for you to be united with Christ, in order for you to be united with God, in order for you to receive every spiritual blessing, in order for you to be a child of God. Because without the revelation of the cross, you cannot relate to what Christ went through.
True that.
I mean, like, looking at it, if you're able to relate to something that a person went through, each and every pain that they went through, sorrows, all those stuff, if you're in that position where you're able to relate, you'll be able to actually live a life that is close to the life that they lived.
Yeah, that's real, right?
And you'll examine each and everything.
Yeah.
You'll examine each and every single thing. And secondly is, you'll actually, that's when a change of nature comes in. That's when a change of nature comes in. And in the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 18a says, "And I tell you that you are Peter." Now, if you go back to the content, that's when Jesus, you know, was going to Peter and all those stuff. And before, you know, Peter's name was changed. This guy was gangster, man. Like, yo, he was killing Christians, persecuting Christians, you know, and all the stuff. I mean, yeah, that was Paul. My bad. That was Paul, I mean. And Paul used to, like, kill people, you know. Just looking at that guy's life, Paul was killing people. And when he encountered the cross, that's when his change of nature came in. And they changed his name from Saul to Paul. That's when he had the revelation of the cross. Now, when you get a revelation of the cross like how Paul did, then you're in a position where you'll be able to live your life according to what the word is telling.
Yeah.
You'll be able to live your life as a on fire Christian, or as the word I love to use, you know, believer. Because in our time, you can get Christians. But yeah, I'm a Christian, but look at their actions. You're like, what? No, man, this is how Christians are supposed to look. No. But yeah, as a believer walks according to the word.
Yeah,
a believer conducts himself according to what the word says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real stuff right there. That's real stuff. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us to be set free. You get what I'm saying? That is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that set us free from all sin and condemnation. And now looking at what Jesus went through on the cross. Now, Jesus overcome his own will for God's will. He just lays down his will and be like, you know what? I'm not going to take on my will, but the will of God. So now reading in Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." You see, he gave up his will for God's will to take on his life because he believed and had faith that the will of God would change his life. The will of God will take him to greater places. Now, looking at Peter, as Mr. Nash had spoken about Peter right there, Peter was found sleeping. Now, look, Matthew 26 verse 40 says, "What? Could you not watch with me?" That's Jesus speaking. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." There are so many things that we like to do in the spirit, but because the flesh is weak, we cannot do it. That's why we need to exercise the spirit and give less to the flesh, or not give at all to the flesh. You get what I'm saying? So now looking at Luke 22 verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then he sweat his blood. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." That is Jesus right there sweating blood on the cross. But right now, there are so many things that the devil imposes on us. Pride. How can we restore pride? How can we replace pride? Pride is not good in the face of the Lord. How can we replace pride? By having humility. It can be replaced by humility. The blood of Jesus replaces pride with humility. Stubbornness with servanthood. Now, rebellion with obedience, unfaithfulness with faithfulness, infidelity with commitment, disloyalty with loyalty, dishonor with honor, selfishness with trustworthy. The Lord can do a lot of things through our lives if only we accept his will and not our will. Yeah.
Yeah, true that. and we're gonna give you something amazing. Stay tuned in. I know your ears are itching to hear more. They're like, what? How can you stop there, man? Come on, continue. Nah, we're coming back. We're coming back. Okay. So enjoy the music and yeah.
Welcome back. You're still watching SABC News Prime. South Africa and Singapore are to further explore opportunities of trade and investment.
Today, Singapore's Deputy Prime Minister Tharman Shanmugaratnam paid Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa a courtesy visit in Pretoria. The two leaders met over lunch and discussed how best Singapore could help South Africa strengthen something that's a bit of a bugbear for us, state-owned enterprises.
A reciprocal visit by Singapore's Deputy Prime Minister. Last year, Deputy President Ramaphosa and his delegation visited Singapore, this to woo the island city state-owned enterprises to invest in South Africa. Now in South Africa, Deputy Prime Minister Shanmugaratnam and Ramaphosa discussed the two countries' bilateral and economic relations and the governance of state-owned enterprises. Currently, the country's state-owned enterprises, which include SAEA and Eskom, are not doing well. And Deputy President says South Africa can learn a lot from Singapore on running state-owned enterprises.
There is a lot that we were able to learn from Singapore, particularly with regard to how they have structured their state-owned enterprises and how they run them and how they govern them. So we've learned a lot, and today was a continuation of that conversation, because as we restructure our own state enterprises, we are looking at what they have done and what works for them and what model we can put together and craft from the experiences that they have had.
Singapore is a world model for its economic success, which is partly attributable to its social cohesion. SOEs have contributed significantly to their economy.
holla, 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 everybody. We're back here. Yeah, we're back on another session. Yeah, we're on the Dave and Nash show with another session. And we know your ears have been itching to hear more. Mm-hmm. You know, more of the word and more of the session, what we got in this show on how to build the church. Building the church.
Building the church.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mr. Dave, what you got for us, man? What you got for us?
What I got for the matriculants as well, for those who want to take their studies further, we got a lot of things here in terms of production and all that stuff. There are so many things that you can engage in production, post-production and all that stuff, if you are that person who likes to demonstrate visuals and all that. But we do not only have that. We also have the sound engineering there, if you're that person who likes sound. You know what I'm saying? If you like noise and all that stuff, you like containing yourself in your room and play music like nobody's business. You know what I'm saying? You can go to the Academy of Sound Engineering. And if you're that person of visuals, you can go to the Academy of Television and Screen Arts. Woo. That's where you can demonstrate how you feel about the visuals. And if you're like me, you like using cameras and you like sound, this is a good place for you to go. Yeah, there are so many more options that you can choose out from. Like, for example, Oakfields College. You can go there as well and get yourself engaged and get yourself, you know, weighing up your options. There are so many universities and colleges that you can go to. Monash is one of them.
Monash. Yeah, obviously we're gonna be taking it from Change of Nature. You know, we spoke about specific stuff. You know, we spoke on Peter and we spoke on Paul, basically from Saul. Now I'll take it from Simon. You know, if you actually look at Simon's name, the name Simon actually means reeds. And when it was changed, this is when the change of nature came, you know. When the Lord changed it, he changed his name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. And then we look at Paul, who was speaking on earlier on. He was known as Saul when he was on his way to Damascus. And then the Lord completely changed his nature. And that's when his name changed from Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
Now that's a change of nature. But then we also examine that the new birth actually takes place, like us as human beings. We become, the new birth takes place when we actually, our nature changes. It takes place when we are in Christ. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, when we are in Christ, the old has passed, the new has come. Behold, all things are made new. So your old past, everything, all the habits, they're all gone. Now that's what a change of nature means. It means that everything has changed from you being this person who was corrupt to you focusing on the Lord.
Yeah.
We are born of God. Just like John chapter 1 verse 13 says. This frees us from the yoke of guilt, which Romans chapter 8 verse 1 actually speaks about. And that's where now you find out about God's fellow workers. And if you go in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10 to 15. Mr. Paul, you know, who was Saul. This guy is amazing also, you know, he lives in an interesting life. You know, he actually wrote a letter. And this is what he wrote in his letter. He's like, by the grace, this is 1 Corinthians verse 10 to 15. And it reads as follows. By the grace of God has given me, I lay the foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straws, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaped through the flames. That's Mr. Paul right there. You know, as God's fellow workers, we have to examine each and everything that we do in our daily lives, because we're going to be accountable for each and everything that we're going to do. And if we build every single thing in our lives that revolves around our lives according to our own strength, then what good is it? Because it's going to go to waste. You'll actually suffer a loss. Our results will become a loss. Why? Because we build everything on our own strength, our own foundation, instead of building it on Christ, which is the foundation that was already placed for us.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do.
That's true. That's real. And it is really critical to build on the right foundation. It is a critical thing to build on the right foundation. That's what let us look at Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 24 to 25a. It says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of God, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of God endures forever. So what this verse is telling us is that everything that we might be looking at in the world, everything that we might be running after cars, running after houses, running after fashion, running after the riches of the world, they will fall away, they will wither, they will go to waste. But the word of God endures forever. The word of God stands still forever. Like, for right now, what you're looking at from this verse is that all flesh like grass, the glory of man like the flower. So now, the things that we experience, the things that we see ourselves as, the things that we identify ourselves. There's so many of us that identify ourselves with our outward looks, how handsome I am and all that stuff, the talent, the gifting, the ability, what you do and all that stuff. That's what people actually identifying themselves as. I'm a nurse. What? I'm a businessman. Do you really know who you are? Do you really know where your identity is? Do you know what determines your identity and who determines your identity? If your foundation is wrong, move to the eternal foundation. Because you need it. We all need it. We need that eternal foundation. We need that foundation which our hearts will be which our souls will be purified by the blood of Jesus. You move foundations by purifying your soul. That's how you move your foundations. Purify your soul by obeying the truth. What you do, obey the truth. As Mr. Nash said, that all our deeds will be accounted for. So what you are determines the why. What you are determines the why your life is like that, why you are going what you're going through, because of what you are, of who you are. I mean, who you are determines the why you are that person that you are. It's because of who you are. What you identify yourself by, what you identify yourself by, determines the agenda. What do you identify yourself by? Do you identify yourself by the word of God, or you identify yourself by what people think, or by what people comment? Yeah,
that's true. That's amazing stuff, yo, that Mr. Dave shared with us. And yeah, looking at it, I'm sure most of you are getting the revelation, you know. You're like, yeah, I'm seeing how you can build a church, man. I'm seeing how you can build a church. And, you know, we're going to go for a break right now. We're going to give you something amazing. We're going to give you music. And when we come back, we're going to give you the key points of how to actually build a successful, let me say, a church. How to building a church, you know. A successful church where you focused on the word. You focused on God.
Yeah.
So after the break, stay tuned in. Hope you enjoy the music. Yeah, tuned in with Mr. Dave and Nash. Yeah, peace out. Enjoy the music, yo.
Yeah.
Who needs this affirmation from his face? Because he's a moral midget and he is a deeply insecure person. He's haunted by the fact that the vast majority of Americans, 54%, voted against him. He lost to Hillary Clinton in the popular vote by 2.8 million. He's haunted by that. So he's a needy little baby. What he needs as a president, though, is to unify the country. What he needs as a politician is to expand his base. Okay, if you want to be small-minded, he needs to expand his base as a politician. But as a president, he needs to expand. The moment that when we were watching this, John, you pointed out when he hollered at that protester, that is not how a president behaves. And I went back and looked. During the campaign, this one we just finished, President Obama was speaking in North Carolina. And a protester stood up, interrupted his speech for minutes on end, much longer than Trump. And the president of the United States told the crowd, which was rabid pro-Obama, of course, stop. Look at this man. He said first, he's older, and he is entitled to our respect. Second, we believe in free speech in this country. It's an American value. Third, he had a shirt or a hat that looked like he was a veteran. He said, we owe him thanks for his service. He called that crowd to a higher, better place. Trump is incapable of doing that. And if we're going to wait 1,361 days, and he's still going to be the moral midget that you saw in that stand in Harrisburg tonight.
You bring up that. It reminds me of when John McCain was running. That man called out from the audience, called President Obama a Muslim, I believe, and made disparaging comments. And John McCain stopped and said,
right,
that is not it. Governor Granholm, hold on. Let me get the governor. You'll get in.
Sure.
Governor Granholm, your big takeaway is you're watching this as a former governor of a state. What was your takeaway tonight?
I am so, so sad for America tonight, listening to this speech. If I think of like Republican president, I mean, Ronald Reagan would never have given such an utterly divisive speech. He spent half of that speech talking about the wall. That reading that poem was horrible. If you want to be a leader of the entire country, I mean, there are people probably who watch this who were hoping that he would call us to something higher. And he took us right into that swamp. It may not be the swamp that he was talking about on the campaign trail, but I feel like I want to take a shower. I'm so sad for this country. I think of Barack Obama calling people to a higher place, calling us to something better. He called everybody to their worst divisive instincts. I'm sad.
Senator, that's just wrong.
Okay.
Barack Obama did not call us to our higher instinct.
Barack
Obama, he gave, and that was a great example, it was an exception.
No, it was not.
Barack Obama presidency was about condescending toward the very people
But you were nodding when the governor brought up Ronald Reagan and said Ronald Reagan would never give this, you were nodding your head up.
I agree with that.
So talk about that.
No, look, I agree that Donald Trump is giving a speech that probably no other president would give in the way, in the tone, and the verbal usage. No question about it. But you can't juxtapose it. And this is, I understand how his language and his demeanor and the way he talks offends everybody here.
Yes.
And
so why would he do that?
But it does offend me. I'll be honest with you. But Barack Obama didn't offend you, and he deeply offended me.
Right.
And he had deeply offended the people in that crowd because he spoke down to them. He didn't try to elevate us. He was morally condescending, calling people bigots and racist and people of faith, calling them out for their religious beliefs. You don't understand how agitated that base got with Barack Obama, just as agitated as you are with Donald Trump.
We have to put some things in context. When you look at President Trump and the way pundits and the way people in the media talk about him, his candidacy, the people around him in the West Wing, his family, it's deplorable. And when you have that type of rhetoric and tone constantly beating at the drum every single day, 24/7, that is not helping America. And I did not like probably 98% to 99% of the things that President Obama did, but I would never call him Obama, and I would never call him a moral midget or a needy little baby, even if I thought the two things were true about him. So as you sit here with your platform and attack the president with these horrible sayings about him personally, and then say, well, Mr. President or Trump, you are doing the same thing, you have to have some type of honesty about how you're talking about the president and how you are talking and how you want him to talk about other people. We owe this president a little bit more respect in how we talk about him, because there's a lot of Americans out there who are suffering and who want to believe in him. And when we belittle him and belittle about him and his family, his children, his staff. I'm not talking about you, but it's the tone that you set and other people that come on this network and do this. That's the problem. And that's why he attacked the media.
You respect the office, not the man. I respect the office. If he enters a room, I stand. If he signs a law, I obey. He is my president. But he is letting me down and the vast majority of Americans down. We've just come off something. This is really remarkable. I can't remember a time we've had 3 two-term presidencies in a row. Clinton, Bush, George W. Bush, and mm-hmm. Barack Obama. Very, very different men. The one thing they had in common, they saw the divisions and they wanted to unite. Bill Clinton was sworn in with his hand on the book of the prophet Isaiah, and thou shalt be called healer of the breach. It was his fondest hope. George W. Bush, I didn't agree with anything he did. I respect the man, though, and he wanted to be a uniter, not a divider. Barack Obama said there was no red states or blue states as the United States. This man is a break. He is a breach from every president that I've seen, from Reagan to Obama, who saw the division. This country is divided. Those divisions are real, and the pain is real. But he is making it worse, and I will call him out.
Down, down, left, right.
I don't know why they're trying to keep us out, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we getting in. Oh, we getting in.
We got the cheat code.
They try to block our shot, cause they know we got the glow. We waited in the line, but they won't let us in the door. We better stand outside in the cold. The game ain't fair, we can't play fair. Oh no, 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 we got the cheat code.
The industry is lost, they lost. Their boys up to something, something. They look at what I gross. Ugh. They like that's disgusting. Cause I wasn't on the list. How you make it to the function?
How you make it?
Oh, you ain't see the fit? I ain't sauced up for nothing. Intruder alert. Yeah, I gotta pay attention. Preach, church, yeah. So I cause a lot of tension. Street hymns get at me. I should be the one they mention. I got bars like the big house. Catch me flexing in the mansion. Y'all crying over spilled milk. So get a tissue like your tendons. Y'all can hate from the outside. We don't care about attendance. Squad way too deep. So it's way too many entrants. So really nothing's out of reach. We don't never need an entrance. They don't know what to do. We breaking all the rules. They want us to lose. But I'm way too smooth. Smooth operator, if you rate us, you should put us at the top. Cause we getting spins, ain't gon' let us in. Meet us at the back, we gon' pick the lock. They try to block our shot, cause they know we got the glow.
He cut off us. He took losses on losses on losses. An expert to a novice. Please don't get me started. Way the truth to life. You deleted part it. I'm to be an honest. Got the cheat code. Speed on 100. My strength on beast mode. We ain't get invited, but my feet up on the couch. I'm on stages with the greatest, but ain't got no CDM. I do shows from state to state and got these people thinking how. It's no secret that my secret gives us power. Every knee shall bow. Made me fly when I was foul. Took my flesh and told a child. Now I'm fresh without a doubt. He held me down when I was down and mess. His circle square try and go select. That's a cheat code. Now I'm over blessed. And I'll never cry like I'm over. Just it ain't over yet. It's that type of power. Look at the darkness. We gon' take you for a ride. Boy, that's a harness. You'll take your knowledge. Catch me. He dropped the charges. He made room for me and my boy. That's a promise. And I got a mansion waiting on me. Bro, I should thought I should let you know. You can keep it in once that you think when I fall. But look, I got the spirit of Jericho.
This is game time, like the playoffs. We too fly, about to take off when the game starts.
It's going down.
They work hard, we play smart. It's shots in this game, got that game shot.
It's going down.
This is game time, like the playoffs. We too fly, about to take off when the game starts.
It's going down.
hard, but we play smart as sharks in this game. Got that game sharp.
We got the cheat code.
Holla, 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 everybody, we're back with the last session, yo, we love you people, that's why we're back so soon, hey, back so soon, and you, we know that you people actually wanted us back here, like, yo, man,
you were waiting,
the music is amazing, but we still want that last session, man, we're on fire,
yeah, man,
our blood is boiling for that,
on fire,
so we're back,
we're back again, we've been speaking about building the church, so if you do not know who you are, what you do will always fade away, if you do not know who you are, what you do will always fade away, the foundation we build on will be tested, you can build a house on a rock and build the other one on the sand, the same house, the same design, the same property inside, but when the storms come, the real house that is built on an eternal foundation shall be revealed when the storms come, when the flood hits against the whole the walls, the real one will be shown. So now, reading from 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 to 15, it says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which Mr. Nash read, which is Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go any further from there because Mr. Nash had already read it. If any man builds on a foundation using gold and silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown what it is, because the day will bring it to light. So now there's a story. The white guy who grew up Africans, you make assumptions about. We all have assumptions. Now people are living according to assumptions that so the guy who grew up, the white guy who grew up Africans, we make assumptions about. The guy is not white, he's a boor. No. So, in other words, what I'm trying to lay down is that, you know what? What skin color you are doesn't determine who you are. What you are built on, it doesn't go according to the skin color. It doesn't go according to who gave birth to you. Or who raised you. Who you are is what God identifies you as. Because we receive the blood of identity was shed on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. So he gave us identity when his identity was lost.
I love that example. I love that example that Mr. Dave actually used, because it's actually going to help me, you know, further elaborate on what the word has to say about that, you know, discrimination, assumptions, and all those type of things. And basically looking at it to building a church, a successful church, you know, the ladder of success, which is the fourth point, the ladder of success. And some of you are like, what the ladder of success? What is the ladder of success? Looking at the ladder. You climb a ladder, right? So you have to climb the ladder to your success. And there are four things under that ladder. It's the win, the winning stage, which is part of the ladder of success, the consolidation stage, the disciple stage, and the ascend stage. Now, all of this, Jesus actually gave us an example of it. I mean, looking at it, the ladder of success in the Great Commission, this is where I'm going to further elaborate on what the word has to say about what Mr. Dave shared. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Not go and make disciples of the blacks and leave the whites.
Yeah.
No. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission, found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Now, the winning stage is the therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Now that's how you win. Go and make disciples of all nations, not go and make disciples of Zulus. If you go and make disciples of Zulus, you're not winning. Discriminating and just recruiting.
Yeah.
Go and make disciples of all nations, now you're winning. Consolidation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not go and make disciples of all the Zulus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No, all nations.
Yeah.
Then you're winning and consolidating. And then the disciple part, teaching them to obey what everything I have commanded you. You teach them to obey what the Lord has commanded you.
Yeah.
Then the send part, and surely I am with you always to the very end. You send them.
Mm.
Now they have learned that this is what the Lord says, and He is with me. Now it's my turn to go. My leader is sending me. That's what you do. And as a result of that, you actually meet in homes and all those stuff. And the ladder of success in the five ministries, if you read in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 to 12, this is what it says. It was He who gave some of the apostles, some of the prophets, some of the evangelists, and some of the pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Mm.
Built up, not built down, not built on Zulus. No, built up on everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. And when you're winning in the five ministries, win is to flow in the evangelistic anointing. To consolidate is to flow in the apostolic anointing. To disciple is to flow in the teaching anointing. Yeah, I mean, like when you're discipling, you're teaching.
Mm.
All of the stuff. And to send is to flow in the apostolic and evangelistic anointing. Mm. Evangelizing, man.
Yeah, man. That's real stuff. That's real stuff. Yeah. Right there. And there, that is why Jesus died for us. He died for us to give us purpose. You get what I'm saying? So the blood of purpose, Jesus bled from His feet so that we may have purpose. Because now in Him, that's when we get our purpose. So how in Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Yeah.
So now, those who proclaim peace, in other words, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation. So now, looking at Matthew 28 verse 18, Jesus clearly states our purpose.
Yeah.
He clearly states our purpose to go out there. The feet represents going. In fact, going represents the feet.
Yeah.
To go out there, to make disciples, represents the purpose that God has set forth for us. And looking at Luke 9 verse 18, follow, represent the feet. Me and I will make you fishers of men. That represents purpose. So we gotta all know that we have purpose. There is something that God is purposed us for in this earth. God has given us a victory over everything and anything. We shouldn't look at ourselves and be like, you know what, I don't have anything to live for. No, you should take away that mindset of ignorance and replace it with revelation, confusion with conviction, destruction with focus, and excuses with progress, limits with multitudes. Go out there and make multitudes of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. And now fear with faith, frustration with faithfulness, good intentions with godly purpose, reaction with intent. Be always on a good standing, be always on the right standing with God. Find your purpose. Find your identity.
Yeah.
Be restored.
Yep.
For you have the purpose in Christ.
True that. And Christ actually set an example in terms of our purpose, how it's supposed to look like. And if you go in the book of Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 to 36, it actually reads as follows. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
That's how it has to look like. Yeah. Amazing. And even went on further to say that your temple will, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Lord Jesus actually taught us that we will become the temples of the living God. He gave a practical teaching by saying, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. But that temple he was speaking about was his own body.
Yeah.
And that's found in the book of John chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. That he was speaking about his own body.
Yeah.
So you destroy that temple, he's going to raise it in 3 days. That refers to our temple also, which is our body,
yeah,
which is the Holy Spirit, the home of the Holy Spirit.
It's crazy how the Pharisees didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, blasphemy.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Like, come on.
Yeah.
With the temple that he was talking about, it's his body. So now that we are made, we are created in his own image, that makes our bodies his temple.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Because yeah, we are created in his image.
Yeah.
So right there, all this that we've been speaking about, the main part, the main purpose of this show was to elaborate more on how to build the church.
Yeah.
On what it really means to build the church.
Yeah.
How you build the church. How do you go about building the church? You go out there, use the four, the ladders of success. The ladder of success. Win, consolidate, disciple, and send.
Yeah.
Get people, leave this earth with an example, with leadership quality, influence other people.
Yeah.
Who will lead after you to go out there and minister the gospel to other people in other places.
Yeah.
To the new generation, the generation that is yet to come.
Yeah.
So everybody, with this said and done, Mr. Nash, your last words, sir.
Ah, my last words, you know. Yeah, if you as the church, you've seen that your church is actually broken down, like it's not how it's supposed to be, you know. That verse right there, what the Lord actually said, break this temple down, like I'll raise it in 3 days. So what does that say? Even the church, whatever state it's in, the Lord is able to raise it within 3 days.
Yeah.
All you have to do is focus on him and let him do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop being a manager and start being a leader.
Yeah.
Because management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Management is efficiently and climbing the ladder of success.
Yeah.
Leadership determines whether the ladder of success is leaning against the right wall.
Yeah. Which is your foundation, Christ. Focus on Christ there. Make sure that your whole life revolves around him and let him take care of the ministry. You take care of his thing, he's gonna take care of yours.
Yeah, that's real right there. We're about to close it down right now. Everybody, we thank you for tuning in with us. Don't forget to go to the social medias and interact with us. We would love to hear from you, everybody. So don't disconnect yourself from us just because we're not there speaking to you. But you can always keep in touch with us throughout the week, throughout the weekend. And you can also go out there and listen to other shows on my... Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to say that. Look. But there, right there. Yeah, you can go out and listen up to other shows throughout the week. And on Saturdays, we got youth 26A Love Day Street in Selby. That is in South Africa. And we on Sundays, we have 3 services, the 8:30 a.m., 10 o'clock a.m. and 5 p.m., which includes training. And hey, everybody, don't miss out. Everything is happening at 26A Love Day Street here in South Africa, Johannesburg, baby. Selby.
Peace
out.
Oscar's on. I'm still here, I should be gone. Wanted to do right, but in the end, yeah, I still wind up wrong. But I'm alive, bro. Got my peace of mind, yo. Last year, yeah, I struggled, but this year, I'm about to stride, though. I got a vision and I wrote it, made it plain. Come on, y'all, let's start a union. I'm just being Mary Jane. Tried to kill it, so they came. But I'm able to maintain. This year, I'ma get the victory. I hope y'all feel the same. I ain't playing no more. I'm a walking purpose now. And shout out to all my haters as they sit and wonder how. How I did it, how I got it. But I'm keeping God first. Yeah, I had some drive before, but man, I did it all reverse. I got my act together. Focus on the weather. Rain, sleet, snow, hell or sunshine. God, I promise to do better. Good luck took me out before. But yeah, before you hit, I'm off. It's 2017 and who thought I'd make it this far?
I don't deserve it, but I made it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it.